And now the king said, look, the contest I see is not really over because nobody died from the poison. And Dr. Kamun was bent over, sick. He didn't feel good. And the king asked the Rambam to give Dr. Kamun some medicine for his stomach ache, which the Rambam did. He had medicine. And the stomach ache was a little bit better. So the Rambam helped Dr. Kamun get his stomach a little bit better. And the king says, the contest is not really over. So what we're going to do is like this. Each day in the palace, until the contest is over, that means somebody will be a winner and live, and somebody will be a loser and not be living. The contest will go on each day. By mealtime, you have permission to go on poisoning each other's food until the contest is over. Each day will go on with the same thing until the contest is over. And this is what happened. Dr. Kamun saw that he could not poison the Rambam without the Rambam taking away the poison. The Rambam knew the medicine for everything. So Dr. Kamun gave up trying to kill, Chas v'Shalom, the Rambam. He just saw it was a waste of time. Only Dr. Kamun, he was worried about himself. Maybe the Rambam is going to now poison him, or some poison from before is going to start working in him. So he decided the whole thing that he's got to do now is only take care of himself. What? So Dr. Kamun told his own servants and his own helpers, he says like this, I'm not going to eat any more delicious meals in the kitchen. I'm only going to drink milk. That's all. First of all, I'm only going to drink milk that is watched by you. You have to watch the milk. From the beginning of the time that it's milked until it reaches me, I don't want anybody else over there because I don't want anything to happen to the milk. It's enough that in the kitchen there's different cooks and there's different people that handle the food. So over there maybe something could be put in my food. Here, if I'm only going to drink milk, that's the only thing I will take. And you watch the whole time. Nothing will be put into this milk. No poison will be put into the milk. And I'll drink the milk. And besides, my stomach is so sick. I couldn't even think of eating that delicious food from the kitchen. My stomach is in knots. It's sick. The only thing I think I could even take into my stomach is just plain milk, like a baby. Dr. Kamun became just like a little baby, only able to take milk. And so, kindalach, each day by mealtime, the Rambam had his own food, and Dr. Kamun did not even try to do anything to the food. And Dr. Kamun said to the Rambam, I'm only having milk. And the Rambam says to Dr. Kamun, you're only having milk. Why don't you eat food? He says, I'm only having special milk that is watched from the time of the milking. The Rambam smiled. Dr. Kamun, we also have milk that's watched from the time of milking. It's called Chalav Yisrael. Dr. Kamun says, well, I don't know exactly what Chalav Yisrael is, but my milk is being watched so carefully from the time of the milking until it reaches me. And if you want to take my glass of milk and put poison in it each day, as according to the contest, you may do that. The Rambam says, Dr. Kamun, go on drinking your milk, and I'm not interested in taking your milk to my table and putting anything into it. I just feel bad for you. And so, kinalach, each day, the Rambam ate his meal that he brought from his house, and Dr. Kamun drank his cup of milk. And as the time went on, Dr. Kamun got skinnier, and he got skinnier, and he got weaker, and he got weaker, because the whole time he couldn't eat. He could only drink the milk, and it really wasn't enough for him, because he wasn't really a baby. He was a big man. Maybe a little baby can drink milk, but after a while, the little baby also eats other food. Dr. Kamun stopped eating food, and he only drank milk. and he got skinnier, and he got weaker, and he got more worried, and he got more nervous, until he couldn't even drink hardly even the milk, and he could hardly sleep at night. Until, kinalach, the health of Dr. Kamun went down and down and down, until one day, because of his worries, and because of his health, he picked up his glass of milk, and when he looked at it, he thought, maybe there's something in it. Or maybe there's a poison from before. When is it going to work? Who knows? Maybe one of my own servants put some poison in the milk. He was so nervous and worried the whole time. And he started to drink his milk. And he fell over on the floor. His milk spilled. And he fell down on the floor, dead. And kinalach, the officers said, it must have been one of those slow poisons from the Rambam. The Rambam put poison in Dr. Kamun's food, or probably the milk. Now, half of the milk did not spill out because he had landed in such a way that the glass didn't spill all the milk. Let's check and see what kind of poison the Rambam was using. The Rambam told everybody, I didn't put any poison into Dr. Kamun's food. I never put one thing, not in his potato, and not in his lettuce, and not in his salad, and not in his salt, and not in his bread, and not in his fleshy. I never put one drop of poison in. And the king says, well, what about the milk he's been drinking? And what about today's milk? Wasn't there poison in that? The Rambam says, are you kidding? A baby could drink this milk also. There was no poison in it. Just to check, they actually brought a little baby from one of the servants of the palace, and they gave the little baby to drink the milk, and sure enough, the baby was fine. The baby drank the milk, and the milk was fine. It was good to drink. And the king said to the Rambam, so then what killed Dr. Kamun if it wasn't your poison? King Dr. Kamun, he poisoned himself with the worst poison. He himself put poison in himself. He poisoned himself. And the king said, all I saw Dr. Kamun taking was medicine. He had a suitcase full of medicine. And all he took was the milk. Only milk and medicine. What kind of poison do you think he put in himself? And the Rambam says, Dr. Kamun had the worst poison in himself. And you know what that was? His own bad thoughts. His own mind. His own head. That was the worst poison. First of all, he tried to kill. That in itself is very, very bad thoughts. To hurt anybody is bad thoughts. And then he was worried about himself. Worrying thoughts are also very bad for you. Thinking thoughts, chas v'shalom, about someone else not good, it's very bad for you. And then to be worried the whole time. He was worried. He was so worried the whole time. And what was he worried about? He was worried about nothing. Because I was never thinking to poison him. Going around worried, thinking bad thoughts, this is the worst poison. And in the end, from his own thoughts and his own mind, this is what killed him. And so, kinalach, the king saw again that the Rambam had won the contest, and the Rambam respected and the king respected the Rambam even more. And he respected the Yidden even more and the Torah even more because he knew that the Rambam's smartness came from the Torah. And the Rambam also explained, as a doctor, I also read things the doctors have to read. And I also find out all the things the doctors have to find out. Because this is important, that a doctor knows what's happening in medicine and a doctor knows what's happening in the world. But the main thing to be smart and the main thing for Hatzlacha in everything is learning the Torah. Because it helps understanding everything. And so, kinalach, the Rambam again became even greater in the eyes of the king. And the king turned to all the officers that were on the side of Datta-Kamun. And by this time, the officers knew what was going to happen to them. And they started taking off their fancy uniforms and their fancy hats and their shiny shoes. And they put them folded on the table. And they walked out of the palace. And they stood in a line to get a job in the... And that, Kinalach, is the end of this story of Datta-Kamun and the Rambam. Now, of course, the main thing, of course, also we should learn something from this story. Now, if bad thoughts, Chas V'Shalom, are bad for you, just think about good thoughts. A person thinks good, how good it is for you. Not only for your neshama, but for your health. Now, the Rambam himself, Kinalach, who was a doctor, and he knew about a healthy body. You should eat properly, and you should rest properly, and you take care of your body properly. What is the main thing, Kinalach, that your body should be healthy? You know what it is? That your neshama should also be healthy. A healthy neshama is very important to have a healthy body. And what is your neshama? Of course, your neshama has many parts. But one very main part of your neshama is the way you're thinking. A person that's thinking good thoughts, he thinks about Hashem, he thinks about helping other people, he thinks nice thoughts about his mommy and tati and his family and his friends and his brothers and sisters, and he has a good attitude, which means that he looks on the good side of things and he tries to be happy with everything that happens and not get upset and not get angry. All of these kinds of things are very healthy. It says in Pirkei Avos to be quiet and not to be noisy. It helps your body to be healthy. And we see in the story of Datta-Kamun, Kinalach, his thoughts, his neshama was sick. His thoughts were not good. What in the end happened? Not only he was thinking was sick, but his whole body got sick. Until finally what happened to him? He died. And it's true. That was the biggest poison. So if, on that side, the biggest poison was not good things with a neshama, just think what the biggest refuah is, and the biggest healthy thing is to have good going on in your neshama. Thoughts is one part of your neshama. What about speaking? Speaking is also a part of what your neshama does. Speaking good things. What about doing? Doing mitzvahs and doing good things in Avos Yisrael. These are all things that help not only your neshama, but even your body to be gesund. In the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, as I told you, but I have to tell you again now, Achav and his shlechta wife, Yizevel, were hunting down all the tzaddikim that were true to Hashem and believing in Hashem's Torah. And Chas V'Shalom, if they caught somebody that was davening or learning Torah, they would kill them. Because everybody had to bow down to the Getchke, the Baal. Everyone only could believe in the Baal and not in Hashem. And Eliyahu HaNavi was the only tzaddik who was left to lead the Yidden. The other ones were killed by Achav and Yizevel. And Eliyahu was the leader of the Torah Yidden. And other Yidden went to hide. And in a cave up in the mountains, there was hiding 100 of the Yidden, Talmidei Chachamim, who learned Torah and who believed in Hashem. And they had to be in the cave. It was very dangerous to come out, because if they came out, they could be killed, because all over was Achav's soldiers hunting people down. How would they stay alive in a cave up in the mountains? Because in a cave, you have to have food and you have to have water and you have to have whatever you need. So as I told you, the king had an officer named Ovadia, who was also a great tzaddik. And secretly, he and his wife took care of the 100 tzaddikim in the cave. the 100 Talmidei Chachamim, and they brought them food, and they brought them to drink, and they brought them, what else? Oil, to make light, so they could have light to learn Torah. And to feed 100 people during the week, 3 times a day, and for Shabbos and for Yontiv, cost so much money. And just to buy the food and even the pots and pans to cook in your kitchen and all the things they need cost a lot of money, which Avadya did not have. So he and his wife went to borrow money. And the one they went to borrow money was, his name was Yehoram. Yehoram, a big Rasha, but he was very rich because he was the king's son. He was the son of Achav. And Tati always gave Yehoram plenty of money. And Yehoram lent it out. You think he was a big tzaddik by lending out the money? He lent out $100, but he took back $125. He charged the rivis. He charged money for you to borrow the money, which is not allowed in the Torah. If you lend a dollar, you're only allowed from a yid to take back a dollar, and no more. And they kept borrowing money, and they kept borrowing more and more money to buy food for the tzaddikim, and to buy oil, and to buy whatever they need. And every time they went to Yehoram to borrow more money, he said, "Where is the money you owe me? You have to pay me back my money. Plus, you have to pay me back extra money because I'm letting you borrow money. Pay me back already." And there was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that they owed. And Avadya hoped to Hashem that Hashem would help to get money to pay back, because he didn't even have enough money to buy things for the Talmidei Chachamim in the cave, much less to pay back the money. And finally, Avadya died. He passed away before he ever paid back Yehoram. And now Yehoram came to Avadya's wife, the Tzadekis, and he said, "Now you owe me the money. Your husband died, but you owe me the money, so you have to pay me back. And if you don't pay me back, I'm going to take away your 2 sons. Your children, oh yes, they'll be my slaves and you'll never see them again. So either you pay me back the money you owe me that you borrowed, or else say goodbye to your children and they'll be mine, my slaves." And the poor woman cried. She trusted Hashem, and she went straight to the great tzaddik of the time, Elisha. Elisha was Eliyahu HaNavi's main Talmud, his closest Talmud, and he became the leader tzaddik of the Yidden after Eliyahu went up to the Shemayim alive in the fiery wagon with horses. And she goes to Elisha and she cries and she says that she owes so much money, and she tells him what happened with Yehoram and what Yehoram is going to do. And Elisha says to her, "What do you have in the house that's worth any money at all? Something." And she says, "We're very poor. We hardly have even any furniture. We don't have really any money. Hardly any clothes. The only thing we have in the house that's worth anything is a little bottle of oil of Shemen Zeis." And Elisha says, "Then you take that little bottle of oil and you do exactly what I say. Take as many empty kelim as you can get your hands on. Take empty cups, empty glasses, empty jars, empty jugs, empty bowls, empty buckets, empty barrels, even broken ones, anything that you can pour oil in. And if you don't have too many in your house, go to your neighbor and borrow them, and go across the street and go down the block. Fill your house up with as many empty kelim as you can get your hands on, and don't tell anybody what you're going to do. But I'm telling you right now, You and your sons are going to fill all of those empty kelim with oil. But the woman says, but I only have a little bottle of oil in my house. Where will I get so much oil to fill up all those empty kelim? Elisha says, don't you worry. Just do what I say. And the woman trusted the tzaddik, and she knows that a tzaddik is very close to Hashem. And just like Hashem, the way a yid is connected with Hashem is nasa v'nishma. First we do, and then we understand, because sometimes we're not going to understand things from Hashem. Hashem is higher than us. The same thing at tzaddik. A tzaddik is like Hashem. If he says something, you don't necessarily understand it. But even if you don't understand it, the first thing is you do what he says. Later on, if Hashem helps, you'll come to understand it. Elisha is telling the woman something she doesn't understand, but she's going to do it because the tzaddik said. And she went home and she took her two boys and she said, let's get all the empty things we have in our house to pour oil in. And then they went around to the neighbors and knocked on the door. Excuse me, do you have any empty bowls or cups or jars or jugs or barrels or buckets? I would like to borrow them just for a few days. And the neighbor says, oh yeah, what do you need it for, huh? Oh, just something. I'd rather not discuss it. Elisha said it should be a very big secret. He doesn't want any ayin hara. He doesn't want people to know about this great miracle that's going to happen. And they borrowed from all over whatever they can get their hands on, and they filled the house with empty kelim. And then they closed the door that nobody could see. And the woman put her feet on the floor, and Elisha had told her, don't move your feet from the beginning to the end of the pouring of the oil. And her two sons, they would go around the house and bring her the empty kelim. And so they brought the first empty cup, and she took the little cap off the bottle of oil, and she put her feet exactly in one place without moving, and she started to pour oil into the cup. And as she pours, she sees that the cup is filled with oil, until it was full. And right away, without stopping, they brought another bowl. They brought a bowl after the cup. And she continued pouring until the bowl was filled with oil. And right away, when the last drop was filling the bowl, they pulled away the bowl and they started a bucket. And then they took a jar and they took a barrel. And the oil kept pouring and pouring and pouring without a stop. That little bottle of oil kept pouring oil and oil more and more until they were filling everything in the house was full of oil. Many, many cups and jars and barrels and buckets and glasses, everything all over filled with oil. Even the broken ones, as long as they wouldn't leak out, until they filled the last one. And the woman says, my boys, are there any other ones left in the house? They said, no, ma, finished. And as soon as they took away the last bowl, the last drop poured out of the little bottle of oil, and that was it, no more. What now, ma? Well, Elisha said like this, we have to go sell the oil in the marketplace. And we'll get money. And he said, two things will come from the money. One thing is, we're going to pay back Yehoram the thousands of dollars that we owe him. And after that, Elisha said, we're going to live from the rest of the money. We'll have enough money for the rest of our life. Well, the two boys said, yeah, but you know, we owe so much money, even if we would sell all the oil, how much money will we get from it anyway? We owe so much money to Yehoram. Well, Kinalach, the woman only knows what Elisha said. And they started taking the oil to the marketplace to sell it. Now, Kindalach, do you know the way the marketplace goes? I'll tell you the way the marketplace goes. Sometimes a thing is worth a dollar. But sometimes, the way things are, the price will go way up. For example, it happened a few years ago, coffee. Coffee used to cost maybe, whatever it was, a dollar a jar. But then, because of a few reasons, the price went way up. And now you have to pay $5, $6 for a coffee instead of a dollar or two. Gasoline for your car, the same thing. It used to be a quarter just for a gallon, and you could fill up your car for a couple of dollars, and that was it. Now the price went so high, you have to pay even much more than a dollar for a gallon. And you have to pay $20 to fill up your car. It shot way up. Other things are the same way. And sometimes, overnight, the price can go up. And in the morning, they call out the prices in the marketplace. Yesterday, oil for a jar was a dollar a jar. And it was always usually around a dollar a jar. But because of certain things that happened, the price of oil that day went way up. And they announced in the marketplace, today oil is worth $10 a jar instead of $1 a jar. That means you can sell the oil for $10 for one jar instead of $1 because it's worth so much more money. And they started selling the oil, and everybody needs oil for cooking and for light and for everything. And they sold the oil at $10 for a jar. And that day they made so much money. And at the end of the day, they had bags and bags of money. And they went to Yehoram and they paid the money that they owed, every penny of it. And the rest of the money, they gave tzedakah, of course, to poor people and thanked Hashem. And they had money for the rest of their life. And that is the story of the miracle.